Support of this episode is brought to you by SipTequila.com. Whether through their website or at their amazing store, Sip Tequila offers us a tequila experience unlike any other retailers. Looking to have someone work with you to make sure you're getting the right bottles? Want to order something special and have it shipped direct to your door? Or do you want to host a private tasting event for you and your friends? Whatever the scenario is, SipTequila.com has you covered. Premium brands ship direct to your door. Welcome to the show. This is the Agave Social Club podcast. I'm your host, Doug Price. I did take a little break. I did some traveling with my family. I got the flu, and then I had to go to Mexico for a trip. So apologies for taking a little bit of a break. Not going to lie, it felt good, but I am glad to be back to recap this last trip before we get back into episodes that feature amazing tequila and agave spirits. So I just got back from Mexico, like literally just got back 3 o'clock in the morning, and had a really incredible time. And I wanted to share it with you guys. I know a lot of times I feel weird about doing these shows, but people let me know that it's a way for them to feel like they were there. I get to be a part of a lot of experiences that not everybody gets to be a part of. And I'm so thankful that I do get to be included in those things. So I want to just share those stories. And just like I've said in other episodes, this isn't a like flex. This isn't me to brag about what I get to do. It's really to tell the story more because of the people who I'm around. They've got a story to tell. And I hope that it encourages you one day to say, hey, I've got to go make a trip to Guadalajara, go to Tequila, go to Los Altos, and to go visit some of these amazing distilleries. So this was a video project. It's actually two things. I was able to line it up. This was a video project at first with General Goros Dieta Tequila. This is a really great brand. They are now moving to El Pandillo. We got to hang out the past week and really just had a great time on a friendship level and working together and telling their story. And they've got a lot of things that are very exciting, and I can't wait to share some of the stuff. So there's a lot that goes into a video project. I love these brands. I love the people behind these brands. And part of it, I feel like my job is to know their story and also help share their story. And so when I do these video projects, I'm writing out, hey, these are the stories that I think that you should be telling, or you've already started telling the story. Let's continue down the road with the story that you're telling. So there's a lot of writing. Look, I love this, whatever this is, this influencer thing. I know I've do a lot on social media and I've got quote unquote influence there. And that's cool. That's not my main thing that I'm going for. I'm thankful for it. And I'm so thankful that people watch and listen and ask me, you know, what are my recommendations, because they want to know more about tequila. But ultimately, I've spent the past 4 years going to brands and saying, how can I help you? And I want to continue to help tell their story. And I'm learning as much as I can. I'm not professionally trained in it. I do believe that I am getting better at it as the years go on. It's always fun and awesome to be a part of these projects. Now, as I'm doing more projects and as the stakes are getting higher and higher, I believe that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, build a team. I had someone tell me that, and I believe that. So I brought a videographer with me, Jack Franzino. He's an awesome guy. He is phenomenal at what he does. I think the industry is starting to take notice of him and the work that he's doing. And I'm thankful to be able to partner with him on some of these things. And so I brought him. So I actually had like a professional videographer with me on top of all the work that I was doing. We had lots of gear, lots of lighting, and really prepared to capture the things that we wanted to capture. Again, I wrote all this stuff out. Some of it you have to be flexible because you don't fully know until you get on site what things are going to be like. But that's just part of it. And it's stressful and it's hectic. And I love it. And I can't wait to see what we have on the end result of all of this. So me and Jack. Jack's flying in from New York. I'm flying in from Florida. We both get in Friday night. I knew Friday night we had to go to Arandas. So this is, you know, Hinojosa is coming now out of El Pendio. This is if you're coming in, you're going to go to Los Altos area, Arandas area. But we were staying the night there Friday night. And a lot of people, you know, they reach out to me and they say, hey, I want to go. Where should I stay? What tours should I do? I do need to write up kind of a travel guide if you're looking to go. But I've had the opportunity to stay at a handful of different hotels in Guadalajara and all over Mexico. But Guadalajara, it's been great to see different hotels. So Friday night, we stayed at Quinta Real. Quinta Real is a really nice, I mean, beautiful, beautiful hotel. I've stayed at Casa Habita. I've stayed at Quinta Don Jose in Tlaquepaque. I love staying there. We stayed at the Square Small Luxury Hotel. That's another really great one. But Quinta Real was really great. So if you're looking to, hey, I need to stay a night or two in Guadalajara, those are some really great hotels to do that. So we got in. It was not too late, but in the nighttime. And we took a Uber. Uber is completely safe. I've always felt safe Ubering around Guadalajara. And we took an Uber to Bar Matilda Mi Amor. I love this bar. I've got some friends that helped create this bar. There's a lot of great, you know, local spots there that I've continued to go back to. Bar Matilda Mi Amor is one that I'm usually always going back to. But, you know, there's a lot of great spots there. El Gallo's great. La Famacia. You've got Peter Brown, Peter Woods. There's some really great bars there. But Bar Matilda Mi Amor is great. It's this terrace. You go up top. You're probably going to be shocked. But the first thing we did was we ordered some batangas. Jack and I had a great time with Cascanes back in January. And on that trip, we brought a lot of attention to the batanga. So it just felt right. So we had a great time there. We had a couple cocktails. We got to talk with some of the people there and just had a great evening. We knew that the next day we were getting picked up by a driver to take us to Arandas. So we wanted to just get to bed and prep for the trip. Now, doing these trips, there's a lot you have to coordinate. There's a lot of travel. There's different, you know, I've got like bartenders coming in, shooting stuff. So you have to line it all up. And as I'm working with Luis lives in Monterey. He's got a beautiful property in Arandas, Hacienda Gorostieta. It's like 30 some acres. It is beautiful. He's got a beautiful hacienda on it that he built. He's got an impressive tasting room. I mean, he can hold a tasting for 150 people there in this beautiful tasting room. Just an awesome property. But I knew that weekend he had some other groups that were coming in and staying there. So we had to try to work around that. I actually knew some of the people that were coming in. And honestly, I was a little hesitant to even pick this weekend. It was really the only weekend that I could do it. But, you know, I'm focused. I'm not here to just hang out. I'm here to work. And I feel a lot of pressure doing these trips. So we were trying to line it all up. So Saturday morning, we got up early. We had Hector take us to Arandas where we met up with Luis. He's got a big, beautiful Gorostieta truck. And then he took us to El Pendio. Now, this is a Saturday. El Pendio is just, they're maxed out. I mean, between G4, Valons, some of the other brands there, I mean, they are producing so much. Now you add a great brand like General Gorostieta, they're going to have to just continue to find ways to produce more tequila. And they are. There's some construction going on. There's going to be, I think, some growth happening over the next year or two. And they're producing a lot. You know, Saturdays, they are now producing. So we went there, and as soon as we got there, we you know, Jack said, hey, I'm going drone up. He went drone up and started capturing a lot of stuff. I started capturing a lot of B-roll around the distillery. The guys there were starting to wrap it up for the day. They ended up there around 1 p.m. And it was cool to just see the team. I think one thing that Felipe does, I mean, he does so many things incredibly well, but the way that he builds a team, and I've had brands that are produced there tell me how important it is for Felipe to have a team that he trusts, that they get along, that there is this family dynamic there. And you could see that as the people in the distillery, they were all hanging out. The girls back in bottling, they were all hanging out. You know, Felipe's there. As soon as we get there, he invites us into the office. And, you know, we sit down and just have a great conversation with him. And we're telling him a little more about this trip because part of it is him coming to the Hacienda later in the weekend or Monday morning to actually do an interview. I mean, we're shooting stories here. And so, you know, he was like, hey, whatever you need. I'm available. I'll do whatever you need. You know, he's for the brand. He and Luis have become good friends throughout this whole process. So we had a little time to hang out at El Pendio. It's hard to go to El Pendio without tasting something from the still. So, you know, definitely got to try that as well. It's such a great distillery. I love the brands that are there, the people involved with those brands. Man, what an addition for Luis to be there. Luis is such a great guy. And the story of General Gorostieta, you know, this is a real person. This was a guy that was fighting for freedom. And Luis just connected with this story. And there's a lot of coincidences. There's a lot of tie-ins. There's a lot of things that we're going to continue to tell visually through the stories that we captured. So we eventually left El Pendio and we were heading to General Gorostieta Hacienda. We got there. It's out there. And, you know, you've got to have a truck with some good shocks on it because it's bumpy. But you get out there, this giant gate that leads you into this property. There's a old chapel that's right there that Luis said, hey, at some point I want to refurbish this chapel. I mean, just such a beautiful place. He's got dogs running all over the place. He rescues street dogs. And it's just a peaceful spot. Felipe came with us. Luis said he loves coming out here. He comes out here and he just stays for the weekend, stays overnight. They've got a cabin there that's totally separate that he stays in. And I think it's a place for him to get away and just find peace. It's on this huge hill. It overlooks so much. And it's just the most amazing view, the place to go out there and to just be. Just stay still for a little bit and recalibrate. The Wi-Fi is not great out there, so we're not tied in and slaves to our phone like I usually am. And so we got to go out there, hung out there. But I knew Saturday night at the facility, there was a group having a party or something. And again, I knew some of those people. I got to hang out with some of those people there. I was not there for a party. I was there to work. So I wanted to make sure I was in that right frame of mind. So after hanging there for a little bit, we got to sip on the General Gorostieta new still strength coming from El Pendio. It is coming out probably in the next few months. Is amazing. It's 100% spring water. The agaves that were used for this batch all came off of Luis's property, which is pretty cool. But just to sit there with Luis, we had some other people there that were from the trip. Don Vicente, that is another brand coming out of there. Some of their team was there. And so just to, again, enjoy it and to get to know people while we're sipping on something that is remarkable. So that was fun. But I knew that, you know, people were coming in. So we headed back to kind of where the main town is in Arandas, where we were staying for a few nights. And we had a little bit of time. We captured a little bit of stuff. It was in the afternoon. It was actually getting close to the evening by the time we got there. And I reached out to my friend Jenny Camarena, who is awesome, does a lot for Tapatio and El Tesoro. And I said, hey, do you want to get together and grab some dinner with Jack and myself? And we actually did set it up beforehand. But since that day I didn't have any service, I was like, I don't even know if she's trying to get in touch with me or anything like that. But she was. She said, hey, I'm available. I'd love to hang out with you guys. Again, the people here are awesome. I've enjoyed sipping some of the best tequila in the world. But more than that, I've so much thoroughly enjoyed getting to know the people behind those tequilas. So Jenny said, hey, why don't I pick you up and we'll go to Tequila Ocho, the distillery that has an amazing restaurant. The last time I was at Ocho, the restaurant was not open. So she said, why don't we go out to dinner there? They've got an awesome cantina for Tomas Estes to remember him and honor him. And so she came and grabbed us and we had a great dinner. That is an awesome distillery. I actually was there later that week with Ocho. But just to go there and to have dinner there, it was packed. You know, it's such a beautiful facility. They are growing like crazy. And then we ended up at the cantina. And, you know, Jenny likes Tapatio 110. I do too. It's one of my most recommended high proofs that you can get, especially if you can find the 1 liter bottle. And so we sipped on a little 110, and then her husband arrived with some of his friends. And Man, the cantina was packed. They've got a patio that seats a lot of people. They just all have bottles of Tequila Ocho on the table. You could go, this is a bar, you could go there and you could order a bottle of Tequila Ocho. You get a bottle of Blanco and it's like 55, 60 bucks. Like that's what you would pay if you went into a liquor store. If you went to a bar here and said, I want to buy a bottle of something like Tequila Ocho, it would be three or four times that, if not more. And so everybody out there, I mean, these are younger people, probably 20s, 30s, just out there Saturday night enjoying life. They all have bottles on the table. They have different mixers. And Jenny even said, you know, the people around here, a lot of times we take it for granted that we have access to all this amazing tequila. And these people just have bottles of Ocho and they're just mixing it with stuff. They're just taking shots and just having a great time. And we hung out and man, it was fun to, again, meet more people. Jenny's husband is awesome. And that was Saturday night, but Sunday it was on. So Luis picks us up Sunday morning and we head out to Atotonilco. Now, General Gorostieta, this is a real person. He was a general. This was, you know, 1920s. And there's a president there, I believe President Gaez, who, from what I've been told, not necessarily a great dude. He starts overstepping in some areas, and he's not a fan of Catholics or Christians having, you know, going to church, any freedom of religion, and it's just not right. And he starts persecuting them. I mean, we've seen this throughout history. And at this time, General Gorostieta is really no longer in service. He actually leaves military. He goes and I believe starts a soap factory or working for a soap factory. Didn't see that one coming. But a group of people, wealthy people, powerful people that knew this was wrong and they knew how great of a general and leader he was, they approach him and they said, we need your help. And I'm sure they offered him something. I'm sure there was some deal to get him to go back and to really go against the government. And I originally thought that General Gorostieta was an atheist. I think I saw that somewhere. And Luis said, well, no, he wasn't super religious. He said, I was able to look through some letters that he wrote his wife. And you could tell by reading these letters that there was some foundation of belief in God. And going through the Cristero War, that's what this was called. This was in the 1920s, where he really developed a deeper faith and falling in love with God. And so there's just a lot going on here. And Luis said, hey, I want to take you to Atotonilco because he was traveling through there. And this was the place where he was ambushed and he was killed. And the battle and the war was almost over. They actually had kind of agreed on some things, but he still gets ambushed and he gets killed. So we go out there. Man, there's a beautiful church. And a lot of people around Mexico, they may not know this story. If it's in around the areas like Atotonilco, some parts of Aranda, some areas where the battles were and where those characters interacted, they know about it. But just other parts of Mexico, because I ask people, oh, I'm here, General Gorostieta, Cristero War, and they're like, I don't know what that is. And Luis said, well, the government didn't really want to amplify it, because it wasn't a great story for the government. You know, the government's trying to suppress and take away freedoms and freedom of religion. So it's really not something that they wanted to get behind. So a lot of the books that had information on it could have been suppressed a little bit. So we go out there and everybody in that area knows about that story. There's a chapel, there's a plaque. This is General Gorostieta. There's a picture of him. And we were shooting a lot of stuff. We were taking a lot of B-roll and we were walking through near some fields and there was an older woman working a little stand and Luis starts talking to her and he finds out that she knows the exact spot where he died, like where he fell. And he said, do you mind if we interview you? Can we ask you some questions? And so we did. We interviewed her. I don't know what she said. It has not been translated yet, but her and Luis have this conversation. And then we go to the place. Guys, this is history. This is more, you know, this tequila brand. Oh, tequila, amazing, made really well. But there's history here when you get to know the stories behind the brands. What is their why? And this is their why. They're doing this because they want to honor this man, General Gorostieta, that Luis has connected to. So we got to see that. Pretty awesome, pretty powerful. And then we left there And we headed back to Arandas, where there's a big, if you've been there, there's a big, beautiful church. I mean, just a beautiful church. They're always doing work on this church, but it is beautiful. And same thing, we're droning up. There's a ton of people there. And we went into the church. And we, you know, very respectful. I love churches and love Jesus. And so I want to be as respectful as I can. We did shoot a little bit there because there was an area that had on the wall a picture of the 24, I believe it was 24 priests that were martyred, that were killed during the Cristero War. And Luis said, hey, you see that picture on the bottom three over? That priest there. That was my great granduncle. So another connection to where Luis goes, hey, people just think I picked a character and wanted to build a brand around him. No. Later at the Hacienda, Luis shows us a photo in his office of a relative of his mom, who was someone who was very high up in the defense military for Mexico. And so he's going, hey, I've got military bloodline in my family. But I also come from, there's a priest in our family, and he was martyred during the Cristero War. So he said, I wanted to show you this photo. I wanted to talk to you about my family that has been involved in this. So powerful stuff. We went there. We hung out there. You always afterwards go get a, you know, get a coffee in the afternoon. And man, what a great town, Arandas. Such a beautiful little town there. And so we were shooting. We were out in the sun all day. Jack and I got very sunburnt, just not thinking. And then we headed back to the Hacienda because we still had a lot more stuff to film. And Luis also loves horses. The horses, you know, were used in military. And I said earlier on, I said, Luis, can we get some horses? And he owns horses. They're not on site in Arandas. There are other parts of Mexico. But I said, could we get some horses on site? Because there's some things that we want to film. And man, he had a guy show up with three beautiful horses. And we're out there. I had some other stories that I wanted to make sure we captured. Just visual stuff. I mean, there's a lot of social media things that we're doing here for him. There's some longer format storytelling. A dream of mine one day would be to do a documentary. I'll put that out into the world. A documentary about these people, about the men and women in the industry. And so there's going to be some longer format stuff that could be some of the beginnings of something like that. But there's also going to be some quick, cool, sexy, fun, you know, social media branding stuff for him that he can use for social media. And so there were just some things visually that I wanted to make sure that we were capturing. And a lot of it revolved around the golden hour. As the sun's going down. And that just adds one more layer of pressure because there's only so much time you have to be able to do it. So we get out there and some of the people that were there throughout the weekend that they stayed. It was a really massive group. And I think they'd been out there for many days. And so it just seemed like some of them were just like tired and just ready to just relax. So some of them stayed. Normally I get a little weird about that because again, I'm here to work. I don't want to be distracted. It's weird to have people just kind of hanging around. But I did know some of these people and I knew some of them through social media and they were all really awesome to hang out with. And it was honestly kind of neat to have them there. They got to see the behind the scenes. And I know that it's going to be fun for them when they see some of these finished videos to go, hey, I was there. I got to see this. But man, we just captured so much great stuff with the horses. There was the guy who brought the horses. I don't know if it was his son or grandson, but man, he was a young, probably 15, 16-year-old young man that just looked like a cowboy. And he jumped on that horse and Luis jumped on another horse and man, they were just riding around and, you know, visually, it's just awesome stuff. So we hung out there in the field. We captured a lot of stuff. The sun was going down. And then we went inside and recorded some stuff. The people that were hanging around, they were just so helpful. You know, they were like, how can we help? How can we hold this for you? Can we, you know, and they wanted to be a part of it. And at the end of the day, it was fine. And it was great to have them out there. So we, you know, hung out there for a little bit and then, you know, we kind of said, hey, we would love to get back to our hotel because we knew that Monday we had another big day of filming things. Now, this actually takes a little bit of a turn because there's a new brand coming out, Doce Casas. Now, this brand is founded by Valerie Sacido. I had a few people in the industry earlier on say, hey, you need to meet this young lady. She's so sharp, so bright, and she's coming out with a really incredible tequila, and she is very hands-on. And so I'm like, you know, anytime somebody I respect and, you know, says, hey, you should meet this person, I'm all for it. She happened to see just through social media that I was there in town. A handful of people were actually in town Friday night, because she was doing an actual brand launch and had a big dinner at the distillery. And she didn't know I was in town until afterwards. But she said, hey, I see that you're here. Would love to come by, meet you, and give you a bottle of our new tequila. So I said, yeah, sure. We actually met up at the hotel after when Luis dropped us off. She graciously came to us, came to the hotel, and I just sat with her for a few minutes down in the lobby and heard a little bit of her story. And man, I'm telling you, she's the real deal. Now, she's coming out of a big distillery that, you know, honestly has some other brands that don't excite me, but she is so hands-on that it's like, it's very different. I mean, very different the way she's involved. 100%. It's already been confirmed, added a free. It's 100% only using Tahona. She's involved every step of the way. So I got to hear her story a little bit, which was neat. And then she said, look, if you've got time, would love to take you to the distillery if you have some time. And I said, well, let me see how Monday wraps up. I know I kind of had Tuesday as a little bit of an open time in case we needed to reshoot anything. Tuesday night, I needed to get back to Guadalajara because Tequila Ocho was doing a trip to launch their new bottles that they invited me on. And so I was able to time it up and move things around and make sure I was able to be out there for that trip. So I knew there was maybe a chance we could get out to the distillery with her Tuesday because it wasn't too far from there. So Monday happens. Monday starts off with Felipe meeting us at the hacienda. And man, we set it up. We brought couches in from the cabin. We set up the lights, the cameras, mic'd them up, and we got to just interview Felipe. There's a part of me that is like, don't blow this. And also, like, how many times are you going to get to be able to like have Felipe just sit there and you can ask him any question? And I'm trying to frame it like a documentary. You know, like I'm not a part of the questions, but I want to get, you know, I want to get him to feel comfortable to just have a conversation, because I know that's when the real good stuff happens, when people are just comfortable and they're just talking. So I had a lot of questions, but I also just wanted to talk to him. And then we brought Luis in and just seeing their friendship and the work they're doing with their tequila, man, it was cool. It was cool to like step back. And Jack was amazing because Jack allowed me to focus on, I don't want to say directing, but just making sure things are the way that I envision them to be, instead of making, you know, like, oh, is my battery need to be replaced, my camera. And so he's like, I got this. He's just so amazing at capturing stuff and allowing me to ask these questions and to move this thing along to go, hey, I think this is where we need to be. So we hung there for a little bit, did that interview. It was, you know, really, really cool. Did some B-roll of them walking around. And then we were going back to El Pendio because I knew I wanted to make sure full run of production. And we went back to El Pendio. It was so great to see Alan and his brother. You know, they're the four and G4, and to hang out with them. Alan actually was with us the night before, and he actually brought out a bottle of Pasote XA. And it was like, it was just a special. That's such an amazing XA. So kind of him to bring that bottle out for us to share a little bit of it. But we saw them, hung out with them. We shot a lot of stuff at the distillery. And man, that's just a place you just want to hang out. It's a place you want to hang out. Felipe's got this little barrel in his office. I got to drink some of that. Alan gave me some other special things that they're working on. I got to see in the bottling area, Valance, one of my, you know, just favorite brands, best friends. Their lot two of their still strength is getting ready to head to the U.S., which is so awesome to see. And Felipe walks me in there and he goes, I think it was like 19 pallets. It was a lot of still strength. And I was so proud of them to stand there and to watch. They were on my podcast episode 3 back in 2020. And to see how much they've grown, that still strength is one of the best still strengths I've ever had. And to see that there's so many more bottles heading to the U.S., so many more pallets of cases, was pretty special to see. And I just thought, man, I'm just so proud of them. And to see the growth and just everything that's happening at that distillery. It's a small distillery, but man, is it mighty and it is powerful. And when it's led by Felipe Camarena, man, there's just special things happening there. So we got to hang out there. And then as I was like, man, I think we're done. We actually had a bartender coming to the Hacienda to shoot some cocktail videos and some other things we wanted to get. So we had to go pick up the ingredients. We had to pick up the bartender, bring him out. And we also had some other shots that we wanted to get during, again, golden hour in the fields, on the roof of the Hacienda, walking through things. But, you know, there's only, you know, we had to make sure we had to get it by time. So I actually was hanging out with the bartender in the Hacienda while Jack was out filming stuff. And, you know, then we came back in and we had fun. We had fun filming cocktail videos. Jack, you know, he leads the charge with that and, you know, making sure the motions of everything he's trying to capture. And there's some really fun stuff there. And then we felt like we had it. Like we can cut this thing. We're done. We can call it a wrap. And after, you know, another very long day, we were tired, very long day. We said, that's a wrap. So Luis was going to take the bartender back to either his house or to the bar that we picked him up at. And he said, I'll probably be back in an hour. And then Luis comes in and he pulls out a bottle of Fortaleza Winter Blend 2023. And he said, unopened, sealed up. And he said, when I get back, we're going to sit out on the porch and we're going to open this up and we're going to enjoy this. And I thought, you know, one, I love when a brand owner isn't like, I got to only drink my stuff, which most of them aren't like that, but they could be. But to say, hey, I want to share something else. And I was like, you don't have to open this. Like, you don't have to open this. It's special to you. And he said, no, this is the moment that I want to open this with you guys. So that was pretty cool. So, you know, I sat out on the porch. I even did a little video about it, just looking out into the darkness, the lights, far, far off, the little street dog Chava next to me. Man, just so awesome. So thankful to be able to do it, to be out there. I felt so good and proud of the work we did. Jack's amazing. I was so thankful for him. The pictures we captured, Luis was, I mean, he was blown away by just those. And, you know, this was a video project and we were just hanging out the whole time. We're like three friends, cutting up, having fun, laughing, just having a great time. And then they came back out and we sat on their porch. Man, it was like 1 a.m. We went out. It was cold. Looked up at the stars. Jack set up his camera. Did a time lapse like every 4 seconds, capturing pictures. So we hung out there and then we went to bed. And I knew that we did have a little time. So Tuesday, I did have some time. So earlier Monday, I did reach out to Valerie and said, hey, look, we would, if you want to, you know, take us to your distillery and show us around a little bit, we'd be more than happy to do that. And then she said, well, hey, I could even take you to Guadalajara because I had to get back to Guadalajara to meet up with the Ocho team that night. So that worked out. So her, myself, Jack, and Luis went to Trujillo. Now, look, this is a massive distillery. It's beautiful. This is not a brand that I'm excited about. It's not a brand that I would, you know, really be something that's on my radar to promote. But she said, look, what I'm doing here, and the reason why she's there is because they are allowing her to come in and to really run the place for her brand, Doce Casas. And like I said before, she's coming in and hey, this is the yeast we're using. This is how we're prepping it. This is what we're doing with the barrels. I mean, she is hands-on. I said, how many days a week are you here? She said, every day. I'm here every day. And, you know, there's not too many distilleries that would just allow a new female in the industry to just come in and just do whatever they want. So that's why she's there. She knows that, you know, the other brand that's there is not in line with what she's going after. But it was a beautiful distillery. We walked in, got to sign an NDA as soon as we got there, not on her behalf, but from the distillery. Thought that was not warm and welcoming, but I guess that's how they do things there. And, you know, she walked us around and we got to see what she was doing. You know, 100% Tahona crush, brick oven. I mean, the process, you know, copper distillation. I mean, the process is really, really impressive. And it is legit tequila, you know, so it'd be awesome to see how she continues to grow. And she's in it. She is in it for real. You know, like I said, she's there every day. This is not just her starting a brand. She grew up in Arandas. And so she is there a lot. And so she took Jack and I to Casa Abita, which is where we usually stay with the Ocho team. And now this turns into a influencer trip. It went from, you know, a video project to now we get to relax a little bit. We still wanted to shoot stuff just because it's fun to do that. And Jack was actually coming with me. I met Jack through a buddy of mine, Wayne. Wayne is on social media, Drink with Wayne. He's been doing a lot of content throughout the years, a lot of whiskey, and is a big lover of tequila and has started doing more tequila stuff. I've met him through social media and he introduced me to Jack. And so Wayne was coming out on this trip. I didn't know who all was going to be on this trip. I knew there were a lot of people like Lucas and Rob and Remy that were invited, but they had some other things. They just weren't able to make it. So I didn't fully know who all was going to be there. We had a few hours before we were meeting up, and I never like to miss out on an opportunity to hang out with my friends. So Chad and Christina from Valon's, they called me and said, "Hey, we're driving through. We're going to be real close to you. Can we steal you and go get a drink?" I said, "Sure." So sure enough, they did. We went to La Farmacia and it was great to just spend time with them. I love those guys. Like I said before, so proud of them, all the work that they're doing. They have poured their heart and soul into Valon's and into the people at El Pendio. They love Felipe dearly. And it's just so great to see the growth of them just continuing to open up new markets. And so to sit with them. And then when we were there, Chris from Not Just a Bartender, I was with him back in January, great guy. He showed up and he was on the trip and he was with Juliana McIntosh, Join Jules. Her and her fiance, Eric, awesome, awesome guy. Both of them, such a neat, fun couple. Join Jules is massive. I mean, she is blown up on Instagram, on TikTok. She's like all the platforms. I mean, we were talking later, but just like how the workflow of everything is. And she's like, "My Pinterest, my this." I was like, "I don't even know what half those things are." But they came to Farmacia where Chris introduced us to Jules and Eric. And so we hung out there and then they brought me back to the hotel where I then got together with Kobe from Fortaleza. And so it was a fun filled day. And Kobe came to the bar and man, I love that guy. Love hearing a story. I've just, you know, I've been able to be friends with him for the past couple of years and to kind of get an update on what's going on with Fortaleza. Just, you know, they're working so hard to continue to produce. And as we all know, such an amazing brand. And Kobe and Stefano, I mean, they've just worked so hard, and Mitch and that whole team. So it was cool to catch up with him. And then I actually did need to like clean up and get ready for dinner. So, and then we, you know, kind of officially started the Ocho trip, and it was a really small group. Last year, it was a much larger group. This was a very small group. It was myself. It was Wayne, Chris. It was Jules. And then, you know, Eric, we had Chris from Samson Suri. He's their ambassador for all things tequila and agave. We had Laura and Alex from Samson Suri that handle a lot of their marketing and really just took great care of us. It was a small group. We had dinner around the corner, a really great restaurant. And that's a, you know, place to get to know everybody. And, you know, Jules right away goes, "Okay, I don't know you guys. I want to hear your stories. I want to get to know you this trip. I want to get to know you guys." I mean, you know, like there's no egos. There's no arrogance. There's like, "Hey, tell me your story." And she was so great at right out the gate going, "Hey, I want to establish this. I want to get to know you guys." And that's something that I try to do. And so it was just great to see that happen. So we were there, had a great dinner. And then they said, "Hey, we're all going out to La Farmacia." So we went back to La Farmacia and, you know, we enjoyed each other's company, had a little Ocho there and just a great bar. If you come into town, La Farmacia is a spot that you want to go. Poncho, that has been so amazing helping people plan trips and tour guide. He's got some involvement there. And so you just know it's going to be a great spot. So we enjoyed there and I got to go there twice in one day, which is always fun. So then we went to bed because we had to get up early to drive out to Arandas and we headed out to Ocho. And man, that distillery is continuing to grow. It is growing. It had 5 ovens the last time I was there. It now has 10 ovens. They are continuing to work. The new ones are not working yet, but they are there. They're continuing to add, you know, fermentation, bottling stuff. They are ramping up production. So we hung out there a little bit and then Carlos said, "Now let's go to the fields." And then he even said, "Hey, I've got room in my car if somebody wants to ride with me." And I just happened to be like last and I was like, "Okay, I'll do it." So I got to jump in his truck and ride with him. And I've been with him in New York. I've been with him at Ocho. I've been with him a few different spots. And he's just so kind and remembers my name and got to have great conversation with him. But here's what's interesting. We were leaving. There were a few guys hanging around the entrance of the Ocho distillery. It's right off the main road. And one guy was like, Carlos. And I thought he maybe worked there. So I said, "Hey, Carlos, I think that guy's trying to, you know, get you." And he comes up to the window and they're talking. And then another guy comes up and they're talking. And then we leave. And Carlos said, those are farmers that are begging for me to buy their agaves. You know, right now, the agave price is so low, and it's this cycle, and it happens every 7 to 10 years where you've got 7 to 10 years where you've got agave farmers that are selling at a very high rate, and they're, you know, they're getting the benefit of that. And then it's going to turn at some point and it's going to crash. And this we've seen over the past however many years that the boom has been probably bigger than ever, which means the bust is also going to be incredibly massive. And he said in 2 years, it's going to get even worse and the agaves are pretty much going to be worthless. And people will beg me to take them. And I'm not going to say yes because I just can't handle the production. There's only so many ovens you have, so much time for fermentation, so many distillation. There's only so much you can do before you just say, hey, these agaves are just, it's a limited time. Like they're going to just rot here. And he said, I would rather them rot in the field than come rot at my distillery. So it was pretty interesting to see, like I'm, you know, living through it with them to see. And Carlos said, look, I've been through this multiple times and it happens and we never learn anything from it. Like, why does this continue to happen? You know, the reality is there's just more agaves. People years ago just started putting them in the ground. Another thing that was interesting, I saw so many fields that were full of quixotes. I've never seen a field that's just full of quixotes. Quixote is going to shoot up. I've talked about it a lot. If you have questions about it, we'd love to talk to you more about it. But quixote is, you know, the plant that's going to shoot up. And by doing that, it's going to actually kill the agave and it's going to bloom. And it's going to help with the, you know, sexual reproduction, natural reproduction of the agave plant instead of it being clones. It's a lot of information. There's a lot more to discuss on this, but now is not the time. But most cut those quixotes because they're going to use all the sugars from the piña, the heart, to shoot up that stalk. Looks like a giant asparagus. Well, when the agaves are almost worthless or very, very cheap, they're like, who cares if some die? We have way too many. And those quixotes do shoot up pretty quick on the first part of it before, you know, then it takes a while for them to bloom, but they do shoot up pretty quick. And I was pretty impressed by like, whoa, these fields are just full of quixotes, which was cool to see. And maybe, you know, a benefit to this cycle where we'll start to, you know, strengthen, whether that's the biodiversity as we get some a little natural reproduction with, you know, these agaves going to full bloom with the quixotes. So we went out there. We had a great time in the field. We had a humidor out there. We all, anybody that wanted to harvest an agave got to do that. I did it last year there. I was shooting a lot of stuff, just a lot of fun. And then we went back to the distillery. They gave us a tour. We went through it. You know, they're growing so much. But Carlos, I mean, the production is on just the top of the top, everything that they're doing. And then we went to their tasting room where they've got a lot of barrels. And we had an awesome tasting pairing. Last year, this was the group where I got to help create the blend of the 2023 Puntas. I was not expecting that this year. And they said, hey, we actually are doing another Puntas. It actually has been created already, but we want you guys to taste it. We want you guys to be some of the first people to taste it. So that was awesome that we got to do that. Might even brought a small sample home to enjoy. But it's going to probably come out this summer. And we asked, like, hey, are you going to do this every year? And he said, we don't know. He said, the agaves will tell us. The agaves will dictate if we're going to do this every year. So that was pretty awesome. Then we eventually had lunch. It was like 4 p.m. We had lunch, had a great time. Again, small group where it's a little more intimate, so where we can just hang out and continue to get to know each other. Always awesome. And then from there, we went to the cantina. So we just spent the rest of the evening at the cantina. A few other people came, you know, that were just there for the bar. Jenny Camarena came back to hang out with us. That was always fun. And great cocktails. Great to be there. Chris, not just a bartender, got behind the bar, made some drinks. So pretty cool to see him work. And then we headed back to Guadalajara. As if it wasn't late enough, my buddy Jose from Cascanes, we've been trying to get together. And we were supposed to get together early Thursday morning, but some things came up and he wasn't able to. So he said, look, if you're willing, I'm willing. So we went out to Peter Brown and again, just connected, just hung out. It was a Wednesday night and it was packed. It was late. It was packed. It just, Guadalajara, you all are amazing. The work you guys put into all of this. So it was great to hang out with him and that was it. And then I got to, you know, pack up my stuff, had a few cool bottles to bring home. Unfortunately, I had one bottle break. Never had that happen. but I guess it happens sometimes. And that was the trip. And now I've got a lot of content to go through. Still the pressure to deliver. Luis was very pleased with the work that we had put forth, that he had seen, and it was just so awesome. So that's it. I'm sorry I rambled. I hope people find value in this. Again, I apologize for this being longer than I wanted it to be. To Luis, General Gorostieta, man, thank you. Luis, thank you for the hospitality, for trusting us. Jack, man, just amazing. Jack is so honored to be able to be a part of doing projects with you. And, we've got another one coming up shortly, and there, maybe multiple more in the future. But it was just great to spend some time with him. And then, the Ocho team, Alex, Chris, Laura, thank you for, just taking care of us. Fanny coming out the whole day and hanging out with us. Carlos, just being so generous, telling us stories, and just the real deal. The new Ocho bottle's out. It's beautiful. Change is different and sometimes hard. And I know people want to be like, oh, they're going to raise prices. They're not going to raise prices. He told us that right from his mouth. We heard him say they are not raising prices. They wanted something that didn't just look like a wine bottle and had a little more design and something that was, something that they could get behind and say, this is our bottle. And, it's a beautiful bottle. The more I look at it, the detail, it is a beautiful bottle. I saw a picture of the new Puntos. There's going to be a new XA with it. I mean, just awesome, awesome stuff. So congrats on the new bottle, everything that you guys are doing as it continues to grow. To El Pendio, all that you have going on. Felipe, you are a legend. Thank you for your time and, seeing value in what I do. And it's just so incredible. So that was the trip. Like I said, I'll be back soon. To everyone that has made it this long and still listened, thank you guys. Thank you for being a part of this journey, this tequila world. And we've got a lot of General Gorostieta stuff that we're going to be coming out with, and we can't wait for you guys to see it. If you're not following me on Instagram, I would love for you to do that at Agave Social Club. I would also love if you wanted to go on Apple and rate this, preferably 5 stars, and write a review. That helps as well. But thank you for listening. Sip Tequila, always a great sponsor and partner in this endeavor. So appreciate that. And we'll be back in a few weeks with another amazing tequila brand. I'm Doug Price, and thanks for listening.